To everyone out there listening, to everyone out there who supported my podcast, I just want to let you to know, I love you. Your support does not go unnoticed. I truly appreciate it. And this thing has become something that I never thought it would already. So everything else is a cherry on top. So cheers to you. Cheers to all you guys. I love you. And until next time. Welcome back to another episode of Central Valley Podcast. I'm your host, Micah D'Ailey, a filmmaker, photographer, and a dude passionate about his community. This podcast focuses on the talented individuals that make up the Central Valley of California, as well as people who are passionate about what they do. The Central Valley has gotten a bad rep, and we're here to change that. If you enjoy what we're doing, we kindly ask that you download each episode, subscribe to our YouTube, and leave a rating and review on whatever podcast app you're using. And once again, thanks for tuning into another episode of Central Valley Podcast.
Shout out Duffy, shout out Micah.
This is it, Central Valley Podcast.
Hey, big shout out Central Valley Podcast.
You know I had to fuck with it. Hey, shout out Central Valley Podcast.
What's up, everybody? It is your host, Micah D'Ailey. And if you're new around here, this is a show where we highlight the talented individuals. No, I'm just kidding. I used to do that for every single podcast, and I used to do intros for every single podcast. And I think that's where a lot of people stop listening, because I would do a fucking 10-minute intro, which in hindsight, I had Duffy and other people telling me, like, what if you cut down the intro? And I was like, nah, I got to explain everything. I need to explain to people who's coming on and what our conversation is about. But it doesn't really work when you haven't listened to the podcast, you know, and you're trying to remember what happened 3 weeks after you recorded it. So I would always give, like, I think we talked about this. I think that it was a really fun time. But yeah, and this is a solo episode, you guys. I've been wanting to do a solo episode for a long time. I was like, I'm just going to come in here. I'm just going to talk. I've been writing down some subjects I want to talk about and just get some things off my chest. I don't know. I just feel like I haven't done this in like 40 episodes or some shit like that. And I just haven't talked and haven't got to express myself in a way that I felt like I've wanted to in a long time. Dude, check out this dope hat. I'm wearing a hat right now. It says Central Valley. And shout out to Rocco, because Rocco is the one who gave it to me. But yeah, it's just a dope hat. I think it's some Bay Area company that actually makes like every county in California. But dope ass hat, Central Valley Podcast. Rocco was like, I just feel like you should wear this, man, because it's just calling your name. It's for you. And I was like, hey, man, I appreciate that. Thank you. That's pretty much how our conversation went. But once again, you guys, I just want to say thank you. Thank you if you're listening out there. Thank you if you've ever showed support in any way to the podcast, whether that's, you know, watching it, listening to it, sharing something, an avid listener, a new listener, anything like that. I just want to say thank you. I truly, truly appreciate it. This podcast, it's not that big of a thing. You know what I mean? I think people think it's big because the Instagram like recently has a lot of followers, but listener wise, it's like, I don't know, maybe 500, maybe a couple thousand. Podcast stats suck. But if you're just out there and you've supported it in any way, or if you just like the fact that like, hey, I follow that dude on Instagram, he seems funny. Like, I appreciate you guys. I truly, truly do. This podcast would be nothing without people listening to it, or without people tuning in, or without people wanting to watch myself or me and Duffy make a fool out of ourselves on Instagram or TikTok too, I guess. But we just appreciate it, because really we're just regular dudes. We're regular people. And the reason it started is because I saw that there was a lack of people being proud of where they're from. And I think we've all fallen victim to that, even if you're not in the Central Valley. And I've tried to explain to people too, like, yeah, the podcast is about the Central Valley and maybe there's Central Valley jokes and things like that, but really it's just a people podcast. It's a podcast about people. So, you know, I have on farmers, I have on teachers, I have on things that every single person can relate to, no matter where they're from, maybe in the world, but at least for sure in the United States. Like, If you're from some rural town in Texas or some rural, it's such a hard word, rural town in whatever state, you know what I mean? I feel like we're just an American town and this is an American podcast. And I don't know. I just love you guys. And I want to say that from the bottom of my heart. I truly appreciate it. And I think that I'm just happy. I'm very happy with where it is. And I feel like I hadn't had the chance to get stuff off my chest that maybe I've been thinking about. I used to do these solo podcasts a little more often. And then once I got sponsors and once I got, I just felt like it became this thing that was like a lot more responsibility. So me talking nonsense like I used to do on these solo episodes wasn't something that would fit. But now that I've kind of, we've grown a lot for sure. That's for sure. I mean, me and Duffy were looking at our past podcast. You go to the fucking first episode or the first couple episodes, dude. Like, we're not even in focus. Like, the first five episodes, there's water bottles in focus. And it's just cool to see the growth. It's cool that, like, we have a studio, yeah, and now we have guests on, and we have had Dope as YOLO on, we have GB on, we have Farmers on. We had all these, like, people that we didn't think was possible, you know? And then now we're just here, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I don't know how I got here, you know? But one thing that the podcast taught me is, like, all my life I would pick up something, try it out, and then give up on it. Like, literally, if it was video games, I remember we were going to fucking Blockbuster and renting a video game, and, like, I wouldn't be able to get past the first level, and I would just quit, and I would stop, and then I would just go return it. You know what I mean? And, I mean, Blockbuster, man, if only Blockbuster saw the future, you know what I mean? Netflix was like, hey, we're going to try this streaming thing out. And Blockbuster was just like, nah, DVDs, VHS, they ain't going anywhere. And then, you know, they saw like VHS gone, and they're like, don't worry. Don't worry, you guys. DVDs are here to stay. And guess what? We got this cool thing. It's called Blu-ray. You ever heard of Blu-ray? Yeah, that's the future. Blu-ray was around for a year, maybe 2 years. And then like streaming came around. And it was like, bye-bye, Blu-ray, because streaming's here. And boy, did Blockbuster fuck up on that one. But it's very nostalgia. Like, I just love the 90s, honestly. I've been thinking about that more and more. I want to make a short film with something with the 90s. I don't know what. But the 90s are awesome, and I love them. But back to my story. So I'd pick up something, like, all my life. I just remember I'd pick up, like, a hobby. I'd try it out for a little while. I wouldn't like it too much, and I'd just give up on it. Whether it was skateboarding, whether it was video games, doesn't matter what it was. I would always pick, like, longboarding. I'd always pick up something, try it out for a while, skimboarding, frisbee golf, because my freaking friend Christian French made me do it. But I would just pick up things, try them out for a little while, and I never was that invested into anything. I never got so, like, where I was like, oh, man, I want to keep doing this even if it gets hard. I think that's what it was. And that kind of carried on throughout multiple things in my life. You know, whether it was, like, in college, if a class got hard, I'd like, fuck, maybe I should just drop this class, take it a different semester. Whether it was jobs, like, you get comfortable. I worked at Starbucks for, like, 7 years, dude. And, I mean, I have so many Starbucks stories I could tell you guys, but we don't need to go down that rabbit hole. Maybe for another time. But I would just pick things up and I would try them out for a while and then I would just give up. And then I remember in high school, there was the flip cameras where it was literally like a USB built into the side of the camera. You'd plug it in. And I got one of those. And that was the first time where I was like, man, I really like this. And me and my buddy Josh, I mean, if you listen to the podcast, sorry, but me and my buddy Josh, we made like 10 videos, 10 weeks in a row. And it was like just so fun. And then long story short, I didn't pursue that because I picked it up, put it down, and then I stopped pursuing it. I just, when stuff got hard, when it's moving to the next step, I just become stagnant in that area. But that all really changed in 2016 when I picked up a camera for the first time. And I had no idea what I was doing, dude. I was like, why can't I just shoot an automatic? You know, I was talking to my buddy Jimmy. I was like, why can't I just, you know what I mean? I was always like, I want to try the easiest route. And what a camera taught me is it just taught me how to try. It just taught me to keep going. You know, I think a lot of people are focused on that 0 to 1. It's so fun, the process of going from 0 to 1 in whatever it may be. If it's a sport, if it's a hobby, if it's a craft, if it's welding, if it's teaching, whatever it was, the 0 to 1 is the fun part. Maybe not teaching, honestly. I hear the 10 years after actually better. But the 0 to 1 is the fun part in a lot of things, because that's where you see the most growth from the 0 to 1. But like the 1 through 10, that's the fucking grind, dude. That's where you gotta really, really dig in, because your growth from like 1 to 6 can be so minuscule. You know what I mean? And a camera taught me really to just keep pushing. And it taught me it just opened all these doors for me that I didn't think were possible. I picked up a camera, and then like a year and a half, 2 years later, I was starting my own podcast. And it just told me, it taught me to just keep going, because I think a lot of people fall off the train, the bandwagon really early on in things. You know what I mean? That's why people like sports teams that are doing well. But what a camera taught me was to keep pushing, to keep going, and that you can always keep learning in things. And I'm just so grateful for that, because I'm talking to people right now. There's people literally with their headphones in, sitting in their car, whatever it may be, and they're listening to me talk. And I don't think I'm an eloquent speaker. I don't think I'm that good with my words. I think that I just like to talk. I like to conversate with people. And it's just, it's mind-blowing to me that people are taking time out of their day to hear what I have to say. And once again, I'm sorry if I'm sounding like a broken record, but thank you, thank you, thank you. But the camera taught me that, like, steps 2 and 3, you know, you learn a little bit of stuff. Steps 3 and 4, you learn a little stuff. You know what I mean? But another thing that I hear all the time that kind of has to go with, like, the 1 through 10 stuff is the niching down. Like, today's society, it's all about niching. It's all, or niching, whatever it is. It's always about that. It's like, you gotta get into photography, and then if you're gonna do that, you gotta go to real estate because you can maximize your profits with that. Or you can go to commercial stuff, because that way, if you focus on commercial stuff, you can maximize your profits, you make as much money as possible, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's all about this circular money thing where it's like everything revolves around money, and I fucking get it. I do. But at the end of the day, it's also about what makes you happy and figuring out, if you do want to niche down, what it is. Because so many people kind of pull the trigger before they actually know what they want to do. It happens in college all the time. Me and so many of my friends literally went to school, graduated with a degree in something, and a lot of them don't use it for what it is, but they did what they did along the way is they found out what their passion was, or they graduated from high school and they had that switch of like, wait, high school means college. And they're like, wait, what do I want to do? And that was like me. I was like, wait, what do I want to do with my life right now? And something I never did with like camera and photography and videography was niching down. And that's all I heard. Like, so many people gave me the advice, like, you have to niche down, you have to niche down. And I was always just like, why? I mean, I get it, to maximize your profits and to become really good at one thing. I do get that aspect of it. But also, it's with filmmaking, especially in photography, it's like you learn how to do real estate photography and videography. That helps you down the road, because you know how to do establishing shots. You know how to really set the scene places and show the layout of it. And then that in turn can make you a better wedding filmmaker, because now you're taking shots of, you know, the wedding venue and just the land itself and highlighting different things. And then beyond that, you know what I mean? Wedding filmmaking kind of teaches you how to be really good on the go, and which leads right into event photography and videography. And event photography, videography, it's like you got to be ready to go at all times. You don't know what's going to happen. You just got to be recording a lot. And it's okay if you record a shit ton, because you're going to whittle this down into something. And then event photography teaches you to, I don't know, be in the moment more, that anything can happen. And I don't know, it's just, you know, it just leads to all these things. And like commercial videography taught me how to like make things very cinematic. And so this podcast is brought to you by Marcus Rodriguez. If you're looking to buy or sell your home in this competitive market and you're not too sure where to start, look no further than Merced's preferred realtor, Marcus Rodriguez. He'll make sure the process goes as easy as possible, and you can reach him at 209-554-1715. Once again, that's 209-554-1715. You can visit his website, www.myagentmarcus.com, or email him, info@myagentmarcus.com. Thanks again, Marcus. This podcast is brought to you by Thor. No, not the God of Thunder. The dude who does tattoos in Merced. Now, if you're in the Central Valley area and you're looking to get a tattoo, look no further than this dude right here. He's a versatile artist that specializes in black and gray realism. He's located in Merced at the Merced Tattoo and Piercing Company. And if you'd like to make an appointment with him, the best thing you can do is follow him on Instagram. That's at underscore T-H-O-R-E-E-E-E. That's at underscore Thor with five E's. You click the link in the bio, and that is exactly how you make the appointment. So thank you again, Thor, and please go check him out. This podcast is brought to you by B-Junk Free Merced. Everyone has stuff that is taking up space, but not everybody has the time or equipment to do something about it. And that's where Scott Levesey comes in. If you have junk overtaking your garage, yard, that spare room, or even a storage unit, give B-Junk Free Merced a call at 209-233-1519. Once again, it's 209-233-1519. He'll give you an estimate, and the best part about B-Junk Free Merced is that he will clean up the mess for you. So you just point, and he'll clean it up for you. You know how he's not going to drop off a trailer and make you do the work. He's going to make sure that he does the work for you guys. So go ahead and give Scott Levesey a call at 209-233-1519. Thanks again, B-Junk Free. Just by not niching down and by not taking the typical route that everybody else took, it opened up more opportunities and more doors for me. This podcast was born through that. You know what I mean? I've met so many people through the podcast that I just didn't think I would, my paths would ever cross. Like, let me, I guess, pull up, just pass you guys. But I just want to go through like the most random people I've had on the podcast. And people always are like, have me on your podcast. And it's like, dude, it's not that I don't want to have you on my podcast. It's like, I'm at a point where this podcast is just kind of picking its guests itself. And a good way to get me to not pick you to go be on the podcast is, hey, you should have me on your podcast. Reality. That's reality of it. And that's not a diss, because you could be doing great things. You know what I mean? It's just the fact that I feel like stuff naturally is occurring and naturally coming. And I feel like I'm behind the wheels of this freaking spacecraft of a podcast and doing what I think I should be doing. And then along the way, I have all these other people, and I've had people come in who I'm glad I didn't have on the podcast, who I wanted to be a guest at some points. And I've had people come in where it's like, dude, like, let's get you on the podcast now. I don't know what it is about you. I like your vibe. I like your style. And I think me and you can connect. And if we connect, I think other people can get something out of it. And that's kind of the madman that I am, running this podcast. And then of course, having my wife, having Duffy, having even just Jimmy, and like just having people I can consult with, honestly, and give them my ideas and give them my point of view and my perspectives on things. That's like really what, you know, I don't know where I was going with that statement. But basically what I'm saying, you guys, is that this podcast has allowed me to talk and meet with so many people. And even if it's me sitting down with somebody I've known all my life, when I sit down and I have a podcast with them, it's cool, because it's like you got to go into this, to these subjects, into these things, and actually listen to your friend, or maybe you'll cut them off. Maybe you're hanging out in the group always, but getting that one-on-one time is just so cool to me. Sorry, people are freaking texting me right now, you guys. But this podcast has opened up so many doors. And with that, also in my career. And I guess the podcast is part of my career. But with filmmaking and photography, this podcast has opened it up. And it's been able to allow me to do it full time when I didn't think that'd be possible within the first 2 years. Especially being a noob at this stuff. Oh my gosh. Sorry, guys. I said, especially being a noob with this stuff and not really knowing what I wanted to do in my life. But like, it opened up to so many people. It opened up to, like, dude, I was just on the Photographer's Mindset podcast, and that's a podcast that I listened to, and I was inspired by it. And then I invited the host on my podcast, and then like, it had been a goal of mine to be on that. And I was always like, damn, I'm like, I am a photographer, but I do a lot more filmmaking, but I only post like funny stuff, and maybe people don't take me seriously because I post all this funny stuff. But at the end of the day, it's just like, I'm happy for the choices I make. But then they hit me up and they're like, hey, we want to talk to you on our Photographers for Mindset podcast, and we want to talk about how picking up a camera can lead to all these other things. And like, that just inspired me. That was like, oh, like some validation for myself that like, hey, yeah, you're out there doing dumb shit a lot, but also people see the work. People see you putting in that hard work. People see the growth. People see how it started and what it's like now. And I am so self-critical because I forget shit all the time. I forget to film podcasts in 4K. I forget to set the focus. I forget to do the audio. I forget how to be a good host. It's just like all these little things that you forget to do. But at the end of the day, it was just some like made me feel so good that like these people that I look up to were like, hey, dude, we see you grinding. We want to talk to you because we think you have some value. And that was the first time I think I went on another podcast and I actually gave value. I mean, maybe I go to all another podcast and I give value, but I'm kind of known for distracting people on podcasts and getting them off subject. And it's just because that's my thing. It's like, I want to know what drives you. You know what I mean? If you're interviewing me, I want to know what drives you, what's going on with you. And I mean, I got on their podcast and it just kind of was like, cool. Like, hey, you're doing it, man. Like, people want to talk to you. People want to hear your opinions. And so that was Seth Macy was like one of the first guests was like, he's the most random guest on here. But then it's like, let me talk about like the opportunities the podcast has given me with like my Blaker fam. Shout out to Shelly and Tom Keaton at Blaker Brewing. I truly appreciate you guys. The reason I ended up working with them is that I made basically, I did a drone shot of me, Jimmy, Jules, and Lindsay all cheersing our beers, and I did a shot of it, and then I added to put the Blaker logo at the end of it and send it to them and be like, just tag them in it. It was like, look, like Blaker, I would love to work with you. And as Keaton said it when he reached out to me, he was like, that was very Gary V of you. And Gary Vee's a fucking animal, dude. Gary Vee's out there like, hey, let me tell you, in order to save $100 a month, you can do that. And if you are homeless for the next 5 years, your family will be able to move into $1 million house. But only if you're homeless for the next 5 years. And let me go to this garage sale real quick. And I'm going to go to this garage sale and I'm just going to rip the fuck off of these people. Even though I'm talking to people telling you, hey, you should freaking listen to me and do what I say. I know this thing's worth $500 and I should give you $300 for it, but I'm going to try to get it for 10 cents because that's the type of guy I am. Gary V. I don't know. Maybe that's not really how he is. But Blaker Brewing, sorry, back to that. So I made that video for them and they're like, hey, I like basically that your attitude of it. And they hired me and my buddy Jimmy for an event. And then that snowballed into this relationship that I have with them. And they've always just believed in me. And when I asked them to become a sponsor on the podcast, they were like, what does it entail? Ask the questions. And then Shelly literally was just like, I believe in you, Micah. I love what you're doing for the community. And I just can't thank you guys enough because to have a beer of the podcast, freaking, I'm going to crack one open now. Why not? Joint Adventure. I believe it's their collaboration with High Water Brewing. Let me get some ASMR for you guys. Ooh. Oh, that's dank. That even says it, tropic, dank, and venturous. Like I think of adventurous, but that's fucking hoppy as fuck. But they really, I mean, any of my sponsors really, but thank you, Blaker, for believing me. I truly appreciate it. I mean, one, does not only look cool to have official beer of the podcast, but two, to have an actual brewery who does dope events and does dope things actually believe in you and believe in the cause that you're doing, like trying to do for the Central Valley, for Central California, for the area and for myself, honestly. Like, I just appreciate you guys. So cheers to you guys. Thank you so much. I love you guys. And while we're on it, let me start just, okay. But what I was going to say with that is that because like the pod, like Blaker gave me a chance to do video for them. And then that in turn led to a good relationship of doing videos for them. And now it's transitioned and even gone to like, okay, now we're a sponsor of your podcast. And same thing with like Marcus Rodriguez, one of my buddies, just the best damn real estate agent in the Central Valley or in Merced, because, you know, that's where he represents. But in the world, actually, he's the best real estate agent in the world. No, but he came on the podcast because he was literally like, you should get some sponsors. And then he was like, I'll be your sponsor. And just like somebody who is like that down with it. I mean, I'm sure he was like, man, I thought this shit was going to end like a year ago. I didn't think he'd still be doing it like 3 years into this. But now he's just like, man, I got to pay this guy to hang out with me, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm just kidding, Marcus. I love you. But like just having those people believe in you, random companies like Patriarch, like random companies I didn't know of, people I didn't know prior. Like Patriarch One was a dope sponsor and they are from the area, moved away to Tennessee. And they're like, hey, we like what you're doing. We want to sponsor you. Crybaby Wine was interested in it. Shout out to Joey at Crybaby Wine. Dude, I could just go on. Wooten Personal Training. I mean, just... it just opened up all these doors to me, man. I just like Lisa Haynes, Juno Coffee. I'm just going to go down of them. Creepy Kawaii, Patty. Thank you. Go check out Creepy Kawaii, you guys. Dope ass place right on Canal and Main Street. Just so cool that what she does to the art community. And she got my work in the Tioga building. She's really helped me. I feel like make a little mark in the creative space because I just love Patty's group that she has. She knows like every artist in the Central Valley, and that's so dope. Who else? B-Junk Framer said, dude, shout out Scott Levesey. Another one. I didn't know this guy prior to him becoming a sponsor of the podcast. He was like, hey, I want to come be a sponsor. What does it entail? I met up with him. That was like my first time actually meeting with someone about being. I'm like, man, how the fuck do I sell this podcast? Like, how do I sell me, like you giving me money? And like, I don't have a crazy amount of listeners, but I am representing the Central Valley. And at the end of the day, my sponsors, I think a lot of them know that, yeah, I might not have the biggest fan base, the biggest audience, I should say. But what I do have is people who do fuck with me. And what I also have is that drive and determination that the Central Valley hasn't had in a long time. And I think that's why a lot of people choose to become a sponsor because none of them have to. I mean, Thor does great tattoos in Merced and he's a bro, dude. And I think he sees the same thing that Scott, that Marcus, that all these other people see is that like, hey, like this guy's actually doing something for the community. So yeah, maybe like this won't initially turn into a sale, turn into a thing, but like it'll help him and it'll help the area and it'll help the community grow and have that culture that's talking good about it. You know what I mean? WorkNet Merced, fucking shout out to you, Merced County. Crazy. Crazy, dude. I mean, I'm sure I'm missing Smiley's. Shout out to Smiley. Shout out to Cody at Smiley's. Thank you for like, once again, just a bro who is like, hey dude, I believe in you. I like what you're doing. I want to support you in a way I can. Sean Connor, dude, fucking like, so basically the podcast, like long story short, what I was trying to say after I started shouting out all my sponsors, let me just make sure I got them all. Yeah, we're good. Long story short, I was saying is that the podcast ended up helping my filmmaking and photography career because what I didn't realize, I thought I did the podcast and I do photography and videography and those things are separate. They're not really connected. But what it opened up is like the podcast became like basically a walking marketing thing for myself of like, hey, look at me. I do a podcast, but I also do photography, videography. And that in turn allowed me to do so many different things. It allowed me to connect with all these different people. And like, let's just go through like Seth Macy, like R. Soul, Tanner Dodson, Matt St. Pierre, Daniel Fields, dude, it was just like businesses, Sisters of the Valley, even though we had a little falling out. But but it connected with these people who gave me great opportunities. And even if I used to work with somebody and I don't work with them anymore, I like to be the bigger person and I like to thank them for what value they brought me because I think that's crucially important. And especially having that mindset is crucially important because you got to. You can't be a bitter person. You can't be a narcissist. You can't like be a shitty person. And if you are a shitty person, shitty things happen to you. And that's even just having a shitty attitude. And don't get me wrong. I wake up. I am not no David Goggins, Cameron Haynes, Joe Rogan. I do not have that self-discipline, you guys. I strive, but I'd fail. And I fail a lot. And that's okay because it's okay to fail. Because failing makes you better. It really, really does. And I didn't used to think that. I was always afraid of it. Dude, I like people think because I have a podcast, I like to talk to, like I'm a super talkative person. And don't get me wrong, I am a super talkative person. But when it comes to social events, when it comes to doing things, it's I am kind of shy, dude. I second guess myself. And that's okay. That really is. But like I was saying, this podcast just became something that I didn't think it ever would. It helped my photography and videography career grow more than I ever thought it would. And it's allowed my business and people and just the community that I've built to grow. And I love that. I truly do. And whether, I don't know, you guys, I really don't. I think I just wanted to come on here and talk about how appreciative I am because this podcast is brought to you by Blaker Brewing, the official beer of the podcast. Located in Atwater and Ceres, this brewery offers not only delicious tasting beer, but great events that bring the whole community together. They have goat yoga, people. Yes, I said that right. They have yoga where goats jump on your back. And they also have a tons of other events coming up. On June 30th, they're doing a cool country night. So they're going to have some country artists out there and it's going to be a great time. And don't miss out on July 4th, you guys. Their July 4th event is massive. It's fun. And it is the best fireworks show in all of Merced County, you guys. So make sure that you're out there on July 4th at Blaker Brewing, you guys. And if you want to check out more, you can go to their Instagram at Blaker Brewing or their other Instagram at Blaker Tarmac. Thank you again, Blaker. I truly appreciate it. This podcast is brought to you by Crybaby Wine. Proudly located in Fresno, Crybaby Wine offers you your favorite delicious tasting wines like Chardonnay, Cabernet, and everything in between. Not only do they have these great tasting wines, but they also have delicious de-alcoholized CBD wine. Infused with CBD and CBG, these wines help reduce anxiety and alleviate stress. You can find their products at crybabywine.com, and if you live in Fresno County, you'll receive free delivery. Once again, check them out at crybabywine.com and follow them on Instagram at crybabywinecalifornia. Use CVP, yes, that's right, use the code CVP to get a percentage off of your next order, you guys. Once again, use code CVP. Thanks again, Crybaby. This podcast is brought to you by Connor Manufacturing Incorporated. They are a local family-owned and operated machine shop that services the Central Valley and beyond. They specialize in complex parts using the state-of-the-art manufacturing processes. Now, if you are interested in using their services, you can send all RFQs through their website at www.connormfg.com. Once again, if you're interested in their services, please send all RFQs through their website at www.connormfg.com. Also, make sure to follow them on Instagrams, Connor_MFG. Once again, that's at @CONOUR_MFG. Thanks again, Sean. It gets hard. Like, people don't see the grind. And especially, like, I'd never been a person that's like, this is the behind-the-scenes stuff. Because it's just, it's like, it's another thing to edit. It's another thing to do. And I do want to change that. And I do want to give you guys, like, a look behind the scenes and how much work a podcast takes to produce and how much work just like a Central Valley session does and how much work all these little things that I do, like it takes a lot of work. And I'm not saying like, look at me, I work so hard, because I fucking think there's 5 hours of the day that I'm probably being lazy on my phone. We all have that. We all have that weekly report on Sunday. We look at it and it's like, you were on the phone for 6 hours and 28 minutes on a daily thing. It's like, bro, we could all cut that down. Every single one of us can cut that down. And maybe some people are out there like, nah, not me. Well, just letting you know, we could all cut that down, because it's like, that's where I look at that and I see like, damn, I could work harder. I truly can. But at the same time, it's like, we're all working on ourselves. And the thing I get sad about when I see that number on my phone is that we only have a finite number of days here on this earth. We only have so much time and we've all become addicted to it. And I'm not going to try to blame myself or all of us. It's like, we've slowly grown. Like, dude, I miss flip phones so much, dude. Man. Dude, my first phone was a green screen. And if you don't know what that is, because you're a child, you know, or if you're like a someone in their 20, who's 20, who's 21, a green screen phone was literally like, your phone was black and green, okay? And not black and white, black and green. And my first one, I remember I had to write my parents a fucking essay to get it my freshman year. I didn't get it, like, I don't think I got it till like, the end of my freshman year. And then they just were like, gave me one of their, don't get me wrong, all phones were shitty back then. It'd be like a different way your phone slides. Like, man, dude, there was like the Sidekick. That was like the shit, the Sidekick from T-Mobile. And then BlackBerry. And BlackBerry really fell the fuck off. I'm pretty sure they like self-sabotaged themselves. I mean, they didn't mean to, but they did. They for sure did. But man, I miss those days. Man, the Razr. You guys remember the Razr coming out? That sleek phone. They were selling that shit for like $300 to $500. The fucking Razr. I remember it being out. Like, and then my parents got it. I was like, bro. My dad and mom have the fucking Razr. What color? Pink and gray. Yeah, pink and gray, man. But it's just so funny, man. Like, the things you'd get excited about back then, like, that's what I miss, man. It's like, nothing is new. Like, some crazy shit happens in the world, and then the next day, everybody forgets about it. And that's what the only thing I, like, that's what I miss is, like, man, back then, you didn't know what the fuck was going on, and that was okay. It was good not knowing what was going on. You could be bored. Being bored was such a good thing. You guys remember being bored? Being bored was so, I mean, don't get me wrong, during it, I remember my mom, there's nothing to do. There's nothing to do. But being bored, God, I think that's good for people. I think that's so good. And I don't think any of us are bored anymore. Fucking social media, really. Really social media. But yeah, I don't know where I'm going with any of these things. But what I do know is that a lot of people, and like a lot of business-minded people who I've been around, you know what I mean? They come in my life. Some of them come and go in the sense that, I don't know. I feel like when people try to come into my world and they try to, it's one thing to give me advice and another thing to tell me how to run a business and run something. And I am by no means, I mean, some of them probably mean it with like a good heart, but like when people come and try to change what I feel like I've been doing, that's when I push people away kind of. But basically what I was saying, I don't even know what I was saying. Oh, like when people ask me what my end goal is, it's like, I don't know. I didn't think I'd get to here. What's my end goal? To keep going, to keep grinding, to keep doing this. Like, this is a fucking lot of work. And because it's a lot of work, I have to look at my business and look at my podcast and think, what can I cut out of it? How can I save myself time? And like, honestly, for myself, it's like, hey, recently I've realized Central Valley Sessions, I love doing it. I love putting on for musicians. But at the end of the day, that's another 8 hours added to a podcast. It's a lot of time. And I just don't think I have time at the moment for that. Now, I'm still going to do a few of them, you know. But at the end of the day, it was like I was making myself do this stuff. And the reciprocation, the engagement, it was just completely fell off when I posted on social media. But what my end goal, like, dude, I don't know what my end goal is. And that is okay because, like I said, I'm going to keep grinding. I'm going to keep pushing and I don't know where it's going to lead. And that's okay. I don't know the best way to capitalize on me having a podcast. I don't know the best way to capitalize on having sponsors. I don't know a lot. But what I do know is that by putting my head down and by keeping going and by picking something up and by not putting it down, I've ran with this and I've built this community. I've built things that like, dude, like every single promo that we've done, dude, you go back to the beginning promos, they are fucking god awful and horrible. You go to our recent ones, we got a fucking duck in a limo. You know what I mean? Like, that's why when people say, where do I see this going? Bro, I don't see any of my promos coming. I don't see any of my guests coming. And that's okay. It's okay that I run it this way and I do things this way. Like, yeah, I analyze my business and I think what I should do. But at the end of the day, it's okay if I don't know where it's going because it's led me to be a full-time a videographer, photographer, filmmaker, podcaster. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's a fucking grind. Yeah, I work 12-hour days. Yeah, I work all the time on weekends. But at the end of the day also, I get to work for myself. I get to be my own boss. And even though it's so nerve-wracking and not knowing where your next check is going to come, it's worth it. It's allowed me to grow into the person I am more than anything else has in my life. And I want to thank my wife for that. My wife for always telling me to do what I want to do. Because in the past, other relationships would be like, people try to change you. They try to make you grow up. They try to make you do these things. Not even just them. It's like their family and everything. Like, when are you going to get your shit together? Blah, blah, blah. Like, just shit like that always happens with everywhere in your life. No, especially if it's like at work, you're going to get that raise, you're going to do that stuff. It's like, hey, stop for a second and ask yourself, what do you want to do? Okay? Because when I started asking myself what I wanted to do, it was like, oh, I don't want to be a teacher. I mean, I like the idea of teaching, and maybe sometime in the future I can be a photography, videography teacher and actually give kids value. But right now everything's so fucked up with the education system and everything else. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I fucking have so many teacher friends, and I applaud anybody in the education system. But with all this other like culture stuff that's going on, it's just like, maybe at a time later on, or maybe I'll teach college. It's just those things. But with all that being said, you guys, I just want to say thank you. I love you all, and I truly appreciate the support you've given me. So cheers to that. And now I'm going to have some things written down that just are just thoughts that I think are funny that I want to talk about when I go in more depth to. So let's just do that. Now, Beta Fish. Beta Fish, I feel like that name doesn't, I feel like the name Beta Fish does not give them justice. Because aren't all beta shit, aren't all beta fish kind of just like alpha fish? Like, you put a fucking mirror in front of a beta fish, they fucking get all flared off. Like, let's fucking go. Let's fucking go. You're fucking talking to me, man. And it's like, dude, it's your fucking self. Chill out. And he's like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to fight this motherfucker. That's alpha, dude. Beta is like, I don't want to, oh, hi, sorry. I don't want to, oh, I don't want to see you. I'll just go over here. So I'm over here. No, they're not like that. Beta fish are alphas. And it doesn't make sense why they're called beta fish. And I guess I could look this up, but I don't even want to look it up because it's a beta fish is an alpha fish, man. They're fucking known for fighting. So I think what happened was a little beta bitch named it and named the alpha fish and named the beta fish. And they're like, they're such a pussy that they're like, man, I don't like how aggressive this fish is. So I'm going to call this fish a beta fish, but it's alpha fish. So I think that we can all kind of agree that beta fish are alphas and should be called alpha fish because they aren't pussies. They're going out there and they're fucking ready to fight. They got their hands up. Fucking dude, I had a beta fish. I mean, it died mainly probably because I didn't, I mean, I get fish tanks all the time. I just forget about the fish, but I've had multiple beta fish, but beta fish are just fucking ready to go. They're ready to fucking go. So that is why I think they should be called alpha fish. Talk about Mulan and how Disney's fucking didn't put Mushu in Mulan. I'm sorry. What? What? How are you going to have Mulan and not have Mushu in it? Literally the like best supporting actor role of like 92 or whenever the fuck this movie came out. But you're going to have Mulan not have Mushu in it? And I haven't even seen it. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I haven't seen the movie. But I know that my favorite part of Mulan, the cartoon, is Mushu. And then to just take him out of it without like what was the thought process in that? I don't even want to look it up because it's just so stupid that you would make a movie, make Mulan, and you would not have Mushu in it. God, that fucking pisses me off. Mushu is the best part of Mulan. That funny supporting character, like Duffy is my Mushu. Duffy is my Mushu, dude, because he's like my supporting character that makes me laugh all the time and is there for me and but supports me. That's like having a Central Valley podcast without having Duffy. It's like having a Will Ferrell without John C. Reilly in the movies. It's like having peanut butter without jelly. You get what the fuck I'm saying, you guys. But having no Mushu in Mulan, it's a crime. It's a crime on humanity. Come on, Disney. You got to be better than that. Got to be better than that. This is another thing I need to talk about with you people. Attention, everybody in the world. If you don't put your shopping cart back after you have been taking it around the store, going all the way out to your car in the parking lot, and if you don't walk it to put it back, you're a piece of shit. Okay, I need you to all know that. It's so annoying going to a parking, going to a grocery store, and you pull up, and oh, you think it's an open spot? No, there's a fucking cart in the middle of it. There's carts everywhere. Like, yeah, I get it. Like, it's a fucking 10-yard walk, but suck it up, fat America, okay? We got to fucking do things. You got to, like, that shows what type of person you are. If you don't have the dignity or the fucking mentality or just the fucking whereabouts and just to know that, like, hey, I've been using the shopping cart, I should go put it back. It's not like the grocery stores make you fucking put it back in front of it. Look for the closest one that's like, I don't know, 10 yards away in the middle of the fucking parking lot and go put it away. Because if you don't, that just shows what your life, you know, that's the picking something up and putting it down because it got hard, man. It's like you went grocery shopping, but you didn't finish, okay? That's like going grocery shopping and then parking your car and not putting shit away. But it's just like, have better character, have better morale. Like, I get it. It's hot. It's hot in the Central Valley sometimes. You don't want to put your shopping cart away, but just do it. Just fucking do it. It's not that big of a deal. And when you do that, guess what? It doesn't look like a fucking parking lot full of fucking carts everywhere. I hate when I could see that. It's just so stupid that people can't even do that. So do me a favor and put the shopping carts away. Because if you don't, you suck. You're a piece of shit. And guess what? No one likes you. Which brings me to my next topic. All right, let's talk about picking up your dog shit. And granted, I'm going to say right now, listen, I take my dog on walks all the time, Merced, and I don't pick up their dog shit. I'll be real. I don't. I'm that person, and I'm sorry. I am sorry because I've stepped on dog shit before, and it sucks, and you fucking hate it. And every time I do step on dog shit, though, I go, I deserve this. I for sure deserve this. But what I can't stand, you know what I mean? It's one thing not to pick up your dog shit. It's another thing to pick up your dog shit, put it in a bag, and then set it back on the fucking ground. What are you doing? I go hiking and I see people, they'll pick up their dog shit, put it in a plastic bag and then leave that on the ground. I'm like, okay, you are taking something that's biodegradable that would fucking do something for the earth. And then you're like putting, you're taking time out of your day to pick it up with your fucking hand, to pick up shit with your hand, tying it in a knot and then just dropping it back on the ground. Like that pisses me off more than shopping carts, honestly. More than not putting your shopping cart back, that pisses me off way fucking more because it doesn't even make sense. I understand when things can make sense, but that doesn't even make fucking sense. So if you're going to pick up dog shit and you're going to put it in a bag, I get it. If you're on a fucking 10-mile hike, you don't want to pick up your dog shit because you don't want to carry it for that fucking long. I get it. But don't pick up your dog shit, leave it in a bag, and then leave it on the ground because now you made something biodegradable, not biodegradable, that's going to sit there for fucking a long ass time. No fucking shit fairies coming around picking up your dog's poop. So I don't know who thinks that's responsibility is the park rangers or the state park rangers or whatever the fuck it is. That's no one's responsibility but yourself. Sorry if it seems like I'm complaining also, you guys. These are things that I thought I could kind of riff on, you know what I mean? This is like, I'm not a stand-up comedy, but if I did do stand-up comedy, maybe I'd do this type of stuff.
This podcast is brought to you by Smiley Service Center for all your automotive repair needs. Smiley's is proud to announce that they have relocated to 254 West 16th Street in Merced. Their team of experienced technicians are dedicated to provide you with exceptional customer service and the highest level of expertise in the industry. They offer a full range of services, including AC, alignment, tire replacement, brake repair, oil changes, suspension work, and much more. Don't wait until your vehicle breaks down to seek professional help. Contact Smiley Service Center today to schedule an appointment by calling 209-722-2616. And once again, they are located at 254 West 16th Street in Merced. Thanks again, Smileys. This podcast is brought to you by WorkNet and the Merced County Workforce Development Board. On this podcast, we often talk about how people from the Central Valley made it, either in a career or in starting their own business. In Merced County, WorkNet provides people with career advice, job information, and training they need in order to change careers. WorkNet services are provided through Merced County, and they are completely free. So it's a no-brainer on if you should use this resource or not, you guys. They have helped hundreds of people and small businesses every year, and you can check them out at WorkNetMerced.com. Once again, all these services are available for free, and you can check them out at WorkNetMerced.com. Thanks again, WorkNet. This podcast is brought to you by Juno Coffee, brewed right here in the Central Valley of California. Nothing beats fresh brewed coffee, but their specialty instant coffee is a delicious alternative for those who are on the go, whether you're climbing, parenting, canoeing, kayaking, hiking, or just out there being rad, this coffee is for you. I have tried so many instant coffees, you guys, and this instant coffee tastes good. All other instant coffees I've had in my life taste like shit, but this coffee, it is the shit. Juno Coffee is awesome, you guys. And if you want to find out more about their products, you can go to drinkjunocoffee.com or follow them on Instagram at drinkjuno. And if you're in the Sacramento area and you want to go have a latte and actually taste what Juno Coffee is all about, you can go to the Pipeworks Climbing Gym, and he has a cafe in there that's open Saturdays and Sundays. So thank you again, Juno Coffee, and please go check them out.
I'm just looking at what I wrote on here. I have something, the dumbest thing I possibly asked in my life. I think it's the dumbest question I've ever asked. I was sex ed, and our church was having a sex ed one time, which, like, seems very, very weird. But I guess good also. One time our church was having, like, the sex ed talk, and it was just like, if my friends were doing it, I did it. So we all did it. And maybe our parents actually wanted to teach us a thing or two or without having that talk with us, you know? And they're talking about women having babies and everything. And I raised my hand because after like this whole fucking process of like the 9 months and everything. And I just raised my hand like, yes, any questions? And I'm like, yeah. Why don't women lay eggs? And I asked that. And it's such a stupid question. But like, they're like, that's a great question. And I'm like, bro. We don't need this. You don't need to reinforce my stupid fucking questions. Like, looking back at it, I'm like, hey, tell me that's a dumbass question. And I'm sure my pregnant wife right now is like, man, I wish I could lay an egg and just sit on top of it for 9 months because, like, it's so crazy that something's moving around inside of her. Like, imagine, women, all you pregnant ladies out there, shout out to you because, I mean, I always knew people were pregnant and, like, it was a thing that, like, they made, like, you make a fucking human inside of you. But it's such a mind-blowing thing. Like, the giver of life, you have another life in you. Like, that's something us guys will never understand. I'll never understand what it's like having another life in me. Yes, we help create it, but it's like, as a guy, you disassociate yourself. Like, especially until my wife became pregnant, I was like, oh, my God. Oh my God, there's a person inside of you, but I can like go to work and forget about it. You know what I mean? Like she has to walk around, go to the bathroom, shower, work, wherever she goes with a fucking baby inside of her. And it's like, what? There's something inside you. I know this is life. I know this is how we all are born, but like until you really like have a pregnant wife or pregnant significant other, like, it's just mind-blowing. It really is. And so to all you ladies who are out there, who are pregnant, who have had kids, that are moms, that are going to be moms, shout out to you. You guys don't get enough credit. You guys are the fucking man, all right? You ladies out there, you're the fucking man. I'm saying that because, like, it's like saying bad bitch, you know what I mean? All ladies who fucking represent, who hold it down, they're all bad bitches. And, like, I fucking appreciate you guys. And I just want to let you guys know that. Thank you so fucking much. Let's see what else is on here. Oh my gosh. Okay. Listen, I have a lot of Mexican friends. I have a whole Mexican family. My wife's Mexican and her whole family does this. They do two things and I don't understand why they do these two things, okay? One, my Mexican family, when me and my wife first moved in, she was putting our pots and pans in the fucking oven. And not like, oh, here's a metal tray, let me put it in the oven. Here's plastic handles and plastic tops and everything like that. Let's just store it in the oven because when I go and preheat an oven, I don't fucking look inside the oven, you guys. And so I think like two or three times until I burnt, like literally melted the plastic off one of our pots and pans. Did she stop putting pots and pans in the oven? But it doesn't make sense. Don't put pots and pans in the ovens, you guys, because I'm going to go start that and I'm not going to look at it. And then the whole house is going to smell like burnt plastic. And then we're going to freaking be breathing in all those, carcinogens things, whatever the fuck it's called. Carcinogens. I think that's what it is. But dude, it's so ridiculous, dude. And I had to argue with her about it. I'm like, hey, we have a cupboard we can put this in. And she was just like, oh, it's just what we do. I'm like, okay, well, maybe we don't do that anymore, okay? Like, and like her mom will come over, do our dishes at her house. I'll preheat the oven. I'm like, gosh dang it, Sylvia, why do you do that? So that's one thing that my Mexican family does. And the second thing that they do is they use the dishwasher as a dish rack, but not as a dishwasher. And it, until my wife moved in with me, same thing. She was, I was like, dude, check this out. And when we started using, when I started showing her the dishwasher, she was like, oh, this is awesome. I'm like, yeah. Like, you kind of do a half-ass job doing the dishes, throw it in the dishwasher, and then guess what? It washes the dishes for you. It dries them. Yeah, it uses the energy and stuff like that, which is my next topic, energy. It uses energy and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's cool. And it's a lot better than just using it as a drying rack because it washes your dishes for you. Like, America just is this energy machine and we just fucking use energy all the time because why the fuck not? It's fucking America, electric cars, gas cars, diesel cars. We're going to do what the fuck we want. But also, other countries, like even my cousin in Portugal, this could be a lie. I have no idea, honestly, but I don't remember there being a dishwasher. And I think that's like a thing that a lot of other countries have, that they just don't have dishwashers. They don't have those types of things. And I don't know. It's just like, oh, what I was saying, though, is that they don't use it over there. So when they come here and it's like you open up basically they open up a cupboard, the dishwasher's their spare cupboard, and they're like, oh, bam, we can store more plates here. But I just don't get those two things. And I do get it. Obviously, I explained it well. But it's the two things that kind of pissed me off at my wife when we first moved in together. And I was like, what's going on? We got to change this, okay? We need to change this now. But, man, someone just keep calling me. I don't know. And they don't leave voicemails. It's like, bro, if you want to get a hold of me, leave a voicemail. Oh, let's say energy, dude. I mean, I know this is probably like explained pretty well and like it shouldn't be that shocking to me, but like, dude, electricity, like I pull a fucking lever right here and there's light. Like, that's crazy. Like, think the fact that lightning is captured, put into fucking storing it somehow. I have no idea how. And then, like, we have technology. We have all the things that run off it. We have lights. We have air conditioning. We have all these different inventions that come from electricity. But it's like, I don't even understand electricity. I don't. I really don't. And, like, I know, like you can make it with water. You know what I mean? You can use these things, like dams and stuff, build energy. You know what I mean? Or build, I don't know what it's called. I probably sound so stupid to some people. But but that's another thing that blows my fucking mind is that type of just energy. And the fact that we have cell phones, we have fucking computers, dude. Like, that shit blows my mind. I don't get it. I have this camera's going, this microphone's going, the laptop's on my fucking lap, like, and it's all running off electricity, and it's, like, way more complex than just that. And so, shout out to all you smart people out there, because I'm not. I'm not that smart. I really am. I'm really not. But, all right, I have a couple last things I want to talk about, and then we'll wrap it up. So, basically, if you ever went to McSwain School for 50 years, you guys, there was this teacher named Mr. Gannon. He was my parents' teacher, and he was my teacher, and that's how you know he taught there for 50 years. He also looked like, I mean, Mr. Gannon, if you're still alive, shout out to you, okay, first and foremost, okay? That guy was a fucking wild card. That guy was a freaking wild card for sure. One, we spent 6 months watching the old Roots movies. 6 months. And every single day when we were watching it, like, we'd get like 2 minutes in and he'd pause it and he would just like give you a history lesson on the TV. And then like bell would ring and you're like, damn, we only got 2 minutes into that. And then other days he'd be asleep and we'd be watching it for like 2 hours. But Mr. Gannon, I don't even know how to explain it, but he'd been teaching forever. And basically, if you were a guy in his class and your older sister had him, he liked you. But then he would also just not like people for no reason. He would just hate people. I remember there's a chick named Lacey in our class, and like, he just didn't like her for no reason. And he would take, you know, those little bats you get at a baseball game, like an MLB game, those little bats that say like Giants on it, he would walk around with the Phillies one and he would literally just like, I'll do it with this beer. He would just like, just do that. And if people would fall asleep in class, he would take that bat and he would just fucking hit it. Let me do it right here. He would just whatever. He would just fucking smack their desk right next to their head with a bat, hella fucking hard. And he'd be like, "What are you doing? You're no good banana boating commie." Like, he would say that. Like, that's how much the education system has fucking changed. Imagine somebody, like, and this is only in like 20 years. Imagine a teacher saying, "You no good banana boating commie." Like, that's what he would say. And I'm pretty sure he fought in like the Vietnam War he fought in some type of war for sure, or was just like very impacted by the communist wars. But he was crazy, honestly. And not to make matters crazier, like, he was just had fucking all these wrinkles all over his face too. And like, it's not that he kind of started looking like that. He just always looked like that. And the crazy part is, like, we'd have 10-minute breaks and, like, you know, us kids would be sweating, playing 21, freaking with our hearts out, fucking really trying our hardest to win that 21 game. But he would go sit in his car, roll the windows up, especially in the wintertime. Well, summertime, he'd roll them down. But in the wintertime, he'd roll them up, and he would just fucking chain smoke cigarettes. He must have smoked half a pack. And maybe that's a lie, but he would come back smelling like he smoked half a pack, because I had his class right after a break, and that guy just smelled like nicotine. Like, not even nicotine, just like cigarettes, like fucking crazy. And so, but he'd have days where he'd be like, you know, quote, trying to quit. He'd be trying to quit. And like, you know, nicotine patches, you're supposed to put them on your back, on your stomach, on your fucking, I don't know, put on your heart. I don't know. This motherfucker put it on his forehead. He put a nicotine patch on his forehead, would wear it, and then he would just walk around. And I remember I was so naive. I was like, well, I guess that's like an icy hot patch. Like, I don't know why he needs that on his forehead. I was just so dumb and naive as a kid. But dude, he would just like wear it like that. And he just like, I mean, it was crazy. It's crazy to look back and think about this guy. Like, I'm talking like he had every name in the book. Like, was not a fan of fucking, where was it? Not Costa Rica. Fucking, what is it? What a fucking, the cigars that everyone, oh my gosh, I'm so stupid. Colombian cigars? No, what is it? Not Bahama cigars, Puerto Rico cigars. I have to look this up. Rarest type of cigars people talk about. No, what? Oh my gosh. Cuban cigars. Oh, it didn't came up. Cuban cigars. I'm sure you guys listening are like, you fucking idiot. Cuban cigars. Man, he had like something against them, man. He was always just fucking, dude, he was crazy. He just hit people's desks, yelled at people. So many people got kicked out of his class for no reason. Like, you just look at him wrong and you just do that. But dude, I remember the day he passed out in class. He just had the nicotine patch on his, he had the nicotine patch on his forehead. And then he also had another nicotine patch on the back of his neck. So, I mean, that seems crazy to me. That seems, one, it's crazy that you let a teacher teach like this. Two, it's crazy you let a teacher teach saying the banana boat and commie. But it's also like, back then you didn't get fired for stuff. And like, I kind of miss those days. I kind of miss having that crazy teacher. It was a fun experience, man. It was like, don't get me wrong, it's fucking, I don't know if I learned a lot. I mean, I watched All Roots, like, I definitely learned something, but he was just the craziest history class I've ever had. Craziest. Oh, man, I'm glad I talked about that. I hadn't talked about that in forever. And then, another story I want to say is, dude, my Nana. Shout out to Lou D'Ailey, fucking drinking martinis all the time. That's why I got a martini on me, and her husband, Sam D'Ailey, over here. But man, my Nana was a fucking character, and my Nana was missing her ring finger, dude. And it's so crazy. The story of how my Nana lost her finger sounds like it's just fucking made up. My Nana, when she was a kid, I don't really know what age it was, she was hanging out with her cousins, and one of her cousins had a fucking axe or a hatchet, and he was just cutting wood, just whoosh, choo, And he's cutting wood, right? And while he's cutting wood, he tells my Nana, put your finger there. I'll chop it off. And she says, no, you won't. And so they're both playing, what is it? Chicken. They're both just playing chicken with a fucking finger on the line. He's like, she's going to move it. I know she is. He's like, there's no way my cousin's cutting off my fucking finger. And he comes down, whatcha? And he cuts off her fucking finger. And that's crazy. Like, that's like in the 1930s. Like, they didn't have the fucking technology, hospitals, fuck. I mean, they had hospitals, but like, bro, like, they just learned that washing your hands, they had just literally learned that washing your hands was a good thing to do and not go from operation to operation. You know what I mean? The 1930s. And then all my life, it's like, I was just like, oh, that's crazy. My Nana has one finger. And I remember one time I was like, when I finally got old enough to ask why, I'm like, wait, why does Nana only have one finger? I'm like, her fucking cousin chopped it off? What? What? Uh-uh. No. That's crazy, right? That's a crazy story. Especially when you're like, hey, Nana, how'd you lose your finger? Well, my cousin, he said, put your finger there, I'll chop it off. And I said, no, you won't. And then he chopped it off. Oh, that's so crazy. That is so crazy. But yeah, this thing really went off the rails. This thing really went off the rails. I feel like I started with 30 minutes of fucking like good talks. And then this last little bit, I went off the rails, you guys. But listen, long story short, do what you want in life. Because really, making yourself happy is one of the most important things. Yes, care about your family. Yes, care about your friends. Yes, care about your significant other. But also be transparent with those people on what makes you happy. Because I feel like people get in friend groups and like, especially guy groups, people make fun of them, do stuff. And at the end of the day, it's like, you get a, like maybe you said something and you're interested in it and your friends make fun of you. And then that can just make you not want to do something for the rest of your life, which is crazy. You know what I mean? And I think that you just got to surround yourself with good people. You got to be transparent with yourself about what you're doing. And You gotta try to be a good person, because at the end of the day, if you're a good person, I truly feel like good things will happen to you and good things do happen to you. And I've seen like being a shitty person, not personally, but like I've seen other people who, you know, I've worked with in the past and things like that. And like when you're shitty to other people, it comes back to you. When you are so into what you do but don't have a mindset or even think about what other people do or how it affects them, that's when you start being a shitty person. And nobody likes a shitty person, you guys. I don't know, you guys. This is my first solo podcast in a while, and I do think it's been better than a lot of my other solo podcasts that I've had. I think there's actually some value here. I don't know what value. I think there's a lot of good clips I can get out of it, you know? But to everyone out there listening, to everyone out there who supported my podcast, I just want to let you know, I love you. Your support does not go unnoticed. I truly appreciate it. And this thing has become something that I never thought it would already. So everything else is a cherry on top. So cheers to you. Cheers to all you guys. I love you. And until next time.
Shout out Duffy. Shout out Micah.
This is it. Central Valley Podcast.
Hey, big shout out Central Valley Podcast.
You know I had to fuck with it. Hey, shout out Central Valley Podcast.